on the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
There you have it, on the road again. So, on your last Sunday, you can get away with stuff, right? So, anyway, that's actually the topic of my sermon this morning, which is on the road again. So I thought that might fit in quite well, right? And we know that Willie Nelson really struck a chord, and he's sung that a lot of times. It's been recorded a lot of times. People have sung a lot of times because it's real, right? And songs that are real to us and that really strike a note of what life is like, oftentimes they stay in our mind, right? Because that's what life is all about. And certainly we live in a mobile society, and so we are on the road again. And then there are some people here that are like home again sometimes, once in a while. So, but most of us find ourselves. So, you know, being the last Sunday farewell message, of course, is always in order. But I want to take a page out of Paul's, of the Apostle Paul's book, and not about that part where he preached all night and all morning, right into the morning, and somebody fell down and we had to get him resuscitated, but just preaching the word. And you know, I'm the type of type of guy that's in the moment type guy, and my window of looking back is quite narrow, even though I don't mind looking back sometimes, and my window of looking ahead is quite narrow as well. So I'm the type of guy, I like to just live the moment, right? So I don't get too excited about things that happened in the past or things that may be happening in the future. And as I sometimes did once in a while think about future and about my imagination of what I would do during my retirement, you know, as maybe in a split second, I thought maybe being interim pastor in Hawaii or California or something like that. And you know, God always got a good place for us, right? Like there's a place called Terrace somewhere in northern British Columbia. So here we are, and the Lord has blessed us for the opportunity of being here. And I suppose if the truth was known, really my retirement plans would have just been to poke around in the garden a bit and eat some peaches and grapes and plums in the shade. And that's actually what I'm going to go back to doing again now that we got things straightened up. But let's talk about roads this morning. For some of us, our road is work. For some of us, road represents goodbyes. For some of us, road represents heartache. A friend of ours was traveling from Edmonton, actually, and going to Africa to visit her daughter, who just had a baby, and the baby was not doing well, and the daughter was not doing well. And she got to the airport, and you know, she was a mess. Like she was bawling and sniffing and whiffling, whatever that is. And so she got to the check-in, and the guy says to her, "I can see this is no joy trip for you." And it wasn't, right? But that's sometimes the way our life is. And that's sometimes the way the roads are in our lives, that they're not always great, not always a fun time. For some, the road represents a new challenge. And Andy, new challenge for Andy on the road, right, of going into this fantastic ministry, which I believe that God has allowed to open, right? And we're just seeing kind of the embryo of it and the start of it. And we're looking for what God is going to do in the future as well. And then as we just look at this word road, like it conjures up traveling someplace from where we are to where we're going, some other place, right? And sometimes this word road, it also describes some season of life that we're in. And we often say that I'm on the road to recovery, or I find myself on a rough road right now, or I'm on the road to a new me. And during this Christmas season, you know, besides the version that I gave you last, the true version of what Christmas was really like last week, and then the version of what the kids had on the video, I was starting to think about roads and all the connection of roads and the Christmas story and the roads, the way they were connected. And then beyond that, thinking about roads how it affects me and how the Christmas story and what roads there are that affect me in the Christmas story. And we know that certain places in the world, they have become hubs, right, of travel. People kind of, they are their central. People travel into them, they travel out of them. And that's the way Bethlehem was in those days as well. And who were the people that were actually traveling on the road to Bethlehem? And who were the people that were, where were they going? And in and out of Bethlehem. One of the things that I see is that the prophets, they were on the road to spiritual mapping. Because way, way back, 700 years, 740 years before Bethlehem, the prophets were already on the road to Bethlehem. That's quite amazing. God is so fantastic, isn't he? When he looks ahead and when he allows his people as well to look ahead. And we know that the prophets, they were the mouthpieces of God to the nation of Israel. They were the mouthpieces of God as well to their enemies oftentimes, to their neighbors. And these prophets didn't just, you know, make up their own sermons, right? They did not speak of their own accord. They didn't choose the subject matter. They didn't choose the circumstance under which they were going to write or write about. It was all given of God. And certainly they didn't write the end of the story. And we know that that's kind of a thing that's in now, right? There's a story and then you can write the end to your own story. And this was not the case with the prophets. They knew, they were given the story and they were bound to tell it just the way it was going to be. And that was their declaration, as I said, 740 years before. They indicated Bethlehem. They indicated Nazareth. They indicated Egypt and the slaughter of the babies. And then there was Daniel, right? And John as well. And remember that those two prophets, Daniel and John, they speak into our time. And so we had all these other prophets that spoke into the time of Bethlehem and looking towards Bethlehem. But here we have these two wonderful prophets of Daniel and of the Apostle John who speak into my day today. And that's the exciting thing about the Word of God, that it's not only historical, but it also draws me right into where I am in this very day. And we are reminded, right, of these spiritual Noahs. Who were out before, and we know Noah, he was building this ark and building a boat when no one had ever seen water, had ever seen a lake, and there he was. And there were these prophets. They were doing the very same thing when no one could even imagine what was going on before. And here they are, right? And we're reminded of the message that is in these scrolls. They were really the spiritual constitution. Within these scrolls was wrapped the spiritual constitutions of the religious community down through the ages. And so the prophets were almost, we can almost say, they were spiritual surveyors who were putting down the pegs. And you don't hear about that much these days, but I know that there is a law in the book that said if you ever remove a stake, like it's 7 years, right, of... Well, maybe now, I was going to say not too good life, but maybe now sometimes it's a good life behind the bars. Anyway, but that's these men were their spiritual, they were driving down the spiritual stakes and setting the constitutions. And so those were the prophets. Then we find the shepherds. They were on the road to a natural encounter with the supernatural because they were seeing God and they were on this road with him. And they were taking care of their flocks. And I have this whole picture in my mind as well of what happened to the shepherds. And I haven't had a chance to really share it with you. Maybe sometime. I don't know, down the road. But I just see this as a very comical happening as the shepherds are there. And I don't think they just kind of stood up and said, oh, hallelujah. No. Like those guys, I think, were rolling down the hill in their sleeping bags, right, when the angels came up there. And but so we have these shepherds. They're on this road to the encounter with the supernatural. And they're doing what they always did, watching their flocks. They're looking after the things that they always did. And it's amazing to me that that these lowly shepherds, they're given the news. By angels. Wasn't somebody just tapping on their shoulder and saying, hey, by the way. No, they actually got the news by shepherds. And it just seems to me, at least within the Christmas story that we have written, given to us in the Word of God, that just without hesitation, they just said, hey, let's go. I don't know if they made any arrangements for the sheep that were there and the goats that were there or whatever. But the word of God just said, they just said, hey, let's go. And so they responded in a spontaneous way. And you know how it is in our own lives, that too often times when something happens in the supernatural, our brains get in the road, right? We begin to want to figure things out. And now how is this going to be and what's going to happen and so forth. But these shepherds, they responded in a very spontaneous way. And then there are the Magi who were on the road of discovery. And as I said before, they've been looking up in the sky a long, long time, many years maybe even, as they were just checking everything out. And these men are, to me, are quite remarkable. You know, it seems that monotony never overtook them. It never just became a ho-hum, okay, let's go to work again today, let's just look up at the skies, right? It just seems that they never got tired of just observing. And sometimes for us, like we always want excitement, right? We always want something to be happening. Always, there's always want something to going on. But these men, they were just observing. And I often wondered, you know, how many years they were there. How many times they were just were taking notes and scribing down notes and maybe cross-referencing with their friends and mapping the skies and seeing what it was here last year and so forth. And I'm sure there must have been cold nights in their days when they were watching the skies. Where they could say, call over, servant Johnny and let him, he's got my map here and he can just check the skies and just see if everything's going the way it always was. And we never see that. But another thing that I see of these magi is that on this road to discovery, they associated with like-minded people who were passionate about their expectations. And that's important in our lives, that we associate with people who are like-minded. And so that was the first part of the road. Then the road leads to the star. We know the story, right? And then a number of them saw the star. Not just one person, but a number of them. And so that, again, it shows me the unity that was there within them. And then the road goes on to discovering, really following the star, which represented hope in their lives. They didn't know where it was leading. And then they encounter some roadblock. The star stopped moving. Have you ever had that happen in your life? When suddenly it seems that the star has stopped moving? When suddenly it seems that where you were going, you were sure of yourself and all of that. And then sometimes the question comes into our mind, and I'm sure, or maybe possibly came into the minds of these men as well. You know, has this trip all been in vain? Like, have I gone this whole road just for maybe I've made a mistake about it all? But one thing I see with them, they didn't despair. They trusted and they knew where they were going or why they were going. They were following something. And it certainly wasn't a repeat of Eve, listening to the serpent of saying, did God really say? No, it was the prophet, the spirit of the prophet Samuel, who said to Jesse, are these all your sons? And, you couldn't blame the guy, right? If already 10 sons had come, I'm sure within his mind, I think that's enough. But, he said, no, are these all your sons? And we know the story, right? Jesse says, no, there's one more. And so in other words, these men, they were sure of their mission. And then, of course, when they come to this place in the road that just seems to stop, they go to the king. Because obviously, if there's a king born, where is he going to be born? He's not going to be born to some lowly scrubber of the floors, right? He's going to be born to a king. So that's where they go. Obviously, that's where you go. And then the king says, no, I don't know. I think some of us, we just says, let's just head down to wherever, Starbucks or wherever, and just get a coffee. I think we're on the wrong road. Just go back home. Was a good experience. We enjoyed the trip and, had good fellowship and all that stuff together. And, maybe we misread something. So what, right? No, these men, they were sure about the road they were on. They were not deterred by something that looked like a stop sign to them. They recognized that there was a higher power that was leading them on. And that road led them then to Bethlehem and delivering their gifts. And then, again, onward home to another road. So these men, they recognized a special occurrence that was going to be happening. They followed the star. The road led to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, to the manger, to home again. And that was their road. And then Joseph, he was on the road of normal everyday life. Probably as he was going to be just a normal Jewish boy, right? He'd follow his father's profession of being a carpenter. Marriage was on the horizon, raising a family, settling down, just making a living. And then suddenly this supply line, the bridge is blown out right from before his very eyes. And his fiance says, we need to talk. Right? Yeah. Sometimes that's what God does in our lives. Everything is just going fantastic. And then God just says, we need to talk. Right? And so suddenly this familiar road was no longer. This thing was happening right before his eyes. It wasn't a matter of him being able to maybe get used to the idea that there was going to be a change, get used to the idea maybe his road was going to be different. No, it happened right before his eyes. No preparation. He had no time for preparation. It was now. His world was shattered. And so this anticipation of a quiet, maybe influential life, even within the synagogue and so forth, it was replaced by the prospect of gossip, of shame, of, you know, sideways glances. Some of us have had those things, right? Of people melting away as he approached their group as they were talking. Acquaintances there as well. Carpenter's union saw him as a disgrace. You know, they cut ties with him. His bench building contracts, they suddenly start to slip away because he wasn't part of the group anymore. And it was only the direct hearing from God that kept this man on the right path. And that's what will happen in our lives as well. Unless we hear from God, we will not be content to be on the right path with God. And so this road that Joseph was on was going against all things Jewish. And he was on this road, marrying a young girl who was expecting another child. And remember, he had already resolved in his own mind to go the old road. The Word of God tells us that he had resolved in his own mind to quietly divorce her. But then time goes on and life settles down and he gets into a routine. And then always, as always, something happens in our lives. The unexpected happens. Here's Caesar Augustus. He wanted their presence and purpose in person to be there to sign, right, to come in and register there as being part of the clan. No photocopies, only originals accepted, no medical excuses accepted. So there they are on the road with Mary and the donkey, of course, he had to be purchased. And Bethlehem, they needed a room. What? You know, the innkeeper says, what? You don't know all these people that are here and you're looking for a room? Are you kidding? So then it's on the room to find a place, other place. And one thing I like about Joseph, probably Mary was included in this as well, but you know, they used a little bit ingenuity here. And that is, if they couldn't find a place for them to stay, probably the next best bet was to go with a donkey, right? And so they said, hey, do you have room for the donkey? Yeah, we've got room for the donkey. And so they were able to bed in with a donkey. And sometimes we need that ingenuity in life, right? You need to start thinking outside the box. And I think that's what Joseph and Mary did here. They started to think that way. And then so that was basically Joseph. And then we have Mary. She's on the road of serving the Lord. She was committed, contented to be so. Her desire was never beyond that, I think. She was engaged to a well-spoken young man. Her family agreed to him. He had good lineage, right? He was a young man. And then the angel interferes. Everything is going smoothly. And there's always some fly that falls in the ointment. And something goes wrong. And so within the blink of an eye, her straight road as well disappears. Suddenly it has all kinds of curves in it. And it disappears faster than money invested with Bernard Madoff or 43 other schemes. I think here's a young man that knows about those things. I actually looked it up. And you know that there have been 43 other schemes in the last 15 years. We hear of Madoff, right? But there's all these things that come along. And so within a blink of an eye, these things suddenly change. She has to make a complete U-turn. Engagement is off. Can you imagine telling her friends? Her friends all knowing that? Staying out of the public eye, putting away the wedding dress catalog, right? Finding something else to talk to mom about. I mean, like, these are serious things that touch our lives, right? It wasn't just, it's a biblical story. No, these things actually happened to them. And the amazing thing, and the thing which always God brings back into our lives, is the matter that she did not have a hand in this abrupt change. It wasn't her fault. She hadn't done anything to deserve it. I worked with a lot of pastors and a lot of young pastors and older pastors. And sometimes they would come to me and they would say, the national executive, they've kicked me out. They've taken away my ordination certificate and I can't preach anymore. And they've just disqualified me. And one thing I used to do, and of course I knew many, many of their lives, their background and current lives and so forth. I used to tell them, you know what? You have disqualified yourself. And that's often the way it is in our lives, right? Others don't disqualify us. We disqualify ourselves by things that we do or things that we become involved in. But Mary had nothing in her hand to bring this abrupt change into her life. And she had confirmed, right? She said, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. And so then her road leads into a time of lonesomeness and all kinds of other things, I'm sure, of asking herself questions. And the Word of God tells us, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country. And she wasn't just going for a joyful trip. She was bothered. Her mind was bothered and her spirit was bothered, right? And let's not as well forget part of another Mary's road. And that was at the cross at Calvary when she looked at her son. And so that was also part of Mary's road. And then there's King Herod. He's on the road to self-reliance. He didn't need God. And when he heard the question about the wise men, you know, he resorted to all kinds of conducting a citywide investigation. Where is there a king? And all of these other things. And I think it probably really bugged him as well when he heard the wise men say that they've come to worship the king of the Jews. I mean, he was ruler of the Jews. Why wouldn't he know that there's another king? And so all of these things had come in. And, he had the scribes. The scribes were there. The priests were there. They had their scrolls in hand, and he never once asked them, what do you find in there? No, he just did. He was doing his own thing and running his own show. And then there's Joseph and Mary, another road. Husband and wife, they were on the road of obedience, I think. And together as a family, the road never resembled anything normal. Now, let's look at some of their roads just very quickly. They were on the road to engagement and to marriage. Why? In obedience to God's direction, right? The road traveling to Bethlehem, it was marked by obedience to the king. Then to the road to Egypt, it was marked by obedience to God's voice. To Nazareth, again, obedience to God's voice to go back to Nazareth. Then obedience to the Jewish law. They were on the road to the temple, taking Jesus there. And then on the road home, Jesus was not with them. So obedient to parenthood, right? They went to look for their son. And then they have these words, which I think they really must have struck into the heart of Mary when they asked Christ, like, what have you done to us? Like, you didn't come with us. And he says that I need to be about my Father's business. And I think that really struck to the heart of Mary. She began to remember what this child was all about, and the story of the angel and the account the angel had given to her what this boy would be, right? And so those are some of the roads, and I'm sure there are many more. We let our mind go wrong these roads that are going towards Bethlehem. But let's move down that road from Bethlehem right down to Terrace here into your life and my life, right? So what significance does this story of Bethlehem, the roads all connecting that, what does it have to me today, Ronald Pozine, December 27, 2015? 2 Timothy tells us, 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that means today. That word is still there today. So let's just recap a bit. There's the road of spiritual mapping. What does that mean to me? Well, you and I are doing the spiritual mapping today. You and I are setting out the boundaries. We're putting in the pegs right in our community into which God has placed us. Most often we're just being followers of Christ. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be. Like, we're just following after Christ. And people are observing our lives. It speaks into their lives in different ways that we will never even have any idea about. I'm a strong believer in the working of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will convict people in many, many different ways, whether it's through your life or your actions or whatever. But I think our main responsibility is simply to be to remain and to just have maintained that integrity of the gospel in my life, in my community as well. And I don't think I just need to be walking along the street every day with a guilt complex, right? And everybody I meet, hey, do you know Jesus? No, I don't think that's the way God works. I don't think that's what he requires of us, right? He just wants us to walk with him day by day. And with the Holy Spirit, when he arranges those moments of opportunity to speak to people's lives, you know, then it's going to work. Because the Holy Spirit has always gone before, and he's done the groundwork, and he's spoken into people's lives already long before you and I get there. And then we have the road of the encounter with the supernatural, like the shepherds were on, right? And this is still the way God works today. He works through circumstances, and he works through these things that are happening. A young lady, we knew her, saw blood, fainted almost every time. Today she's a doctor and has built her own hospital. So God is able to change these things, right? Sometimes we think, that is impossible. And I'm sure even her parents, they have told us that. There's no idea that they ever had an idea that this girl of theirs could ever be a doctor because of the way she reacted to blood. But shepherds hadn't planned their way, right? And that's the way it is in our own lives. We can't plan it. God has planned our ways as well. And then the Magi, they were on the road to discovery. They were seeking men. They were explorers. They were expecting something. And I think that's what God wants in our hearts and lives as well. That we be people that are expecting, that we are people that are looking ahead, and that we're trying to discover something day by day in our lives, in our spiritual lives as we walk with God. We need to be ready for that new star appearing. Sometimes it's just a twinkle up there. Sometimes it just becomes a bit brighter as days go on. But we need to be ready to follow that star. And you know, we will come to intersections. Can I give you some advice? Ask for directions. I know, like, for us men, that's normal. Ladies have a bit more trouble with that. Well, you know, it's exactly the opposite, right? It's always the man. No, and I'm sure I know where I'm going, right? I know it's just around the corner we're going to be there. But when we get to these intersections in our lives, when we're in doubt a little bit, let's just ask for directions. And King Herod, he was smart enough. He called in the experts. He said, hey, what's going on here, right? And an interesting note that these men, as we've said before, they actually had the scribes, they always had this direction in their hand. But they just never knew what to do with it. And then Joseph, he was on the road to a normal, everyday life. One day, without warning, everything changed, right? And so things as well come into our lives that we would need to recognize that things can suddenly change. But you know what makes the difference? It is when we know that God has his hand on us, right? We will not be so worried about where the map is taking us. We're not going to be so worried about whether we're on the right road and so forth. But when these left-hand turns, when they appear, and when we know that God has had his hand on us, then we know that we're on the right way. And we can navigate those places. And, you know, we all have our own ways of thinking, right? That maybe somebody has even prophesied over us, or somebody has said, oh, you know, this seems this is what you're suited for. And it seems that even in our education, everything is going the right way, and then suddenly there's failed exams. Suddenly there's a change in our family situation. Maybe a doctor's diagnosis. Maybe a political change in the country. Maybe a padlock gate leading into work. All of these things can bring abrupt changes into our life. And we need to know that we need to accept God's plan, and that's crucial in our lives. And then there's the road of serving the Lord, which Mary was on. And I've witnessed this a number of times in my own life of missionaries who were called to be missionaries. After a week on the mission field, they're on the way home. Something has happened. I've seen successful pastors lose their voices. Discouragement, despair. And these things happen in our lives, right? When we think like, yeah, this is my road and I'm on the right road. But God, He always has a plan for us. And He's the one that takes the compass in our lives. And then there's the road to self-reliance, which Herod was on. And there's nothing, I think, wrong with us being aware of our talents. There's nothing wrong with us considering the dreams that God has placed in our hearts, seeing how our education fits in with this desired direction, and listening to people. You know, sometimes people will say to us, you know, you're really good at this. The only problem with that is that this is only a very small part of a whole picture. Life is made up of a lot of small pieces. And so even if you are good at this, well, let me tell you. Like, how far is being the best cherry spitter, pit spitter in Terrace, how far is that going to take you? But you're good at this. They're probably frozen by now. But you know, what I'm trying to say, right, is that we can pick things up and people can say to us, oh, you're good at this, and then we begin to base our life on it, right? When there are all kinds of these other things going on. So we need not to be carried away with one thing that sometimes we think we're good at or other people think that we are good at. We need to remember that body has many parts, right? We need to hear, we need to see, we need to move on and so forth and all of these things. And sometimes, again, you know, I'd have young pastors come to me or future wanting to be future pastors come to me, and they would complain. When I just used to love to teach pastors at the Bible college. They would come to me and they say, you know, Pastor Poussin, they'd say, you know, my senior pastor, like, he doesn't let me preach. I said, you know, that's really too bad. And they, you know, their faces would brighten up, and they were glad that they had somebody, you know, that would really agree with them. And I said, you know what? I really agree. You need to go to the bush, put your arm around a tree, and preach your life out. Because you're thinking that pastoring is only about preaching, and it's only 1%, right? So I said, you need to become real. Like, you need to understand that there's more to something that you actually see sometimes out in public. Of course, poor guys, they were always disappointed. And but you know, we really need to look at our lives and ask God to help us. And then there's Joseph and Mary, husband and wife. We're coming to an end. Yes, so is the clock. Okay. So, you know, in obedience to God's call, they set apart everything in their own lives, their things that were happening normally in their families, and they accepted. And there they were on the road to Bethlehem. And just take a note of where roads led the people after Bethlehem. You know that Bethlehem wasn't the stopping point, that there was a road beyond Bethlehem. It wasn't the end of the road. All of these people that came to Bethlehem, they continued their journey. Even the donkey. I have a little story about a donkey. Of course, we like to listen to the BBC. And so it was Christmas time, and there was this big debate become, yes, Graham, you listen to this really well now, okay? There was this big debate because one guy had sent this card out to people. It was so, like, so generic that it could have touched anything, any season. And then there was this other lady. She had sent out a card which was very Christmassy. And so they're having this debate on the radio about all these cards. Anyway, it came to the end of the debate, and you know what? Usually a debate happens, right? They're always given like 15 seconds or something to bring it all to the end. So the lady that was all for these Christmas cards, she had the first rebuttal. And so she said to the narrator, she said, you know, I just want to tell you one thing. She said, all of the donkeys did not stay in Bethlehem. Some of them landed up in the British Parliament. And her being British, she was using the King James, which I won't use today. But this poor other guy, like, he was quiet. Like, that was it, right? He had no rebuttal. And so even the donkey, it didn't even stay in Bethlehem as well. So just in conclusion, let's be reminded and think about what road are we on today? What road are you on today? Let's just take a moment. Let's just close our eyes and just meditate for a moment and just kind of ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us again. Like, what road am I on today? What road do you want me to be on? You know, some roads, they can be insignificant, but others, they're major highways in our lives. And God has a plan for us, a road beyond Bethlehem, a road of beyond where we are today. And sometimes we need to switch, right? And we are on the road again. And Psalm 32:8 says, I will guide you with my eye. And so even this evening, as we just lie down in our beds, turn off the lights, let's just allow the Lord again to speak into our lives. And just, you know, just think about that a bit more of God guiding us with his eyes. And recognize, where does God want me to go? What am I on? Maybe there are some that are, you know, seeing this bright orange light down the road, and they think it's sunrise. But actually, it's the fires of hell that they're looking at, right? So yet today that we have the opportunity to change, to turn around. And maybe there are some of us here today, we see that same light. And yet, you know, we're cold and we almost need to have that emergency blanket put around us because we're shivering in just not having that spiritual presence and contentment of Christ in our lives. And he wants to do that as well. And so we just thank him as well for being faithful to speak into our lives and being reminded again today of roads, the road that we're on.